And I just remember, Pat giving a speech at the front of the room, and he was talking about being behind and feeling like you're not doing enough and that you're not going to make it. And he was literally staring. He didn't move his eyes around the room at all. He just was staring directly at me. And he said, "You're not down. You're not out. You can come back, you know, stick to the systems, trust the process. You're going to be okay." And like, I'm sitting there like, man, like, why is he not looking at anyone else?
Welcome to the Leaders of Tomorrow podcast. My name is Chris Thompson, your host of the show and the head coach of the Student Works Management Program. This is a show dedicated to young and ambitious entrepreneurs and ultimately the leaders of tomorrow. Each week, we will bring you an inspiring interview or message to help you create the future you know you deserve. Let's get started.
Hey, leaders. Really excited to be giving you an awesome podcast. Every April, we see, you know, operators who didn't get everything set up in their environment. The learning curve's been hard for whatever reason, and they are not where they want to be in their business. And all of a sudden, they're facing and they're staring down, wow, I need to be at this success level so that I can launch my first business. And it's frightening. And they're discouraged, and they're not seeing a lot of light, a lot of hope. And so last year, one of our operators in this situation, he was $18,000, or sorry, I guess he was probably at, like, you know, by April 2nd, he was $18,000. April 14th, I think he was probably at, you know, $12,000 or $14,000 on the painting side of the business, and was really, really struggling, and really turned things around. And so he went from, you know, middle of April, April 14th, 18,000 to at the end of the summer, $180,000, a trip to Mexico. And right now we're doing this as of early February. He's at $55,000. His goal is to do over $360,000 and double his business. He's got an incredible team, and he just walks through, you know, just what it was like and how difficult it was in early April, and that lack of belief in himself and his business, and sticking to, again, the system, the coaching, the hope, everything that he needed to do to start turning it around and start believing in himself and to start getting the ridiculous results that he started to get, that he got, and that he's just continuing to. So this opportunity this April, so many of our operators turn things around and just create incredible results. The market starts turning towards us. And so this podcast is really for those people who are facing real challenges in their business. And again, for all the other listeners who aren't StudentWorks operators, it's those really challenging times and just believing ourselves and seeing everything and pulling everything apart to really have that value and be the best version of yourself that Andrew talks about quite a number of times in the podcast. So why do we do these podcasts? We do these podcasts to teach, to learn, to share what we're up to here, and to attract amazing young leaders like Andrew Thompson. So if you know any amazing young leaders, please share this podcast. Send them my email if they're interested in applying, cthompson@studentworks.com, or send them directly to our website at studentworks.com. We start our recruiting process in July and August of the summer, and we wrap it up in early December. So there's just a small window to come get accepted into our program for 2025. Have a fantastic day. Thanks so much for tuning in. Andrew, welcome to the Leaders of Tomorrow podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Super excited to be here. Let's go.
Yeah, me too. I know, actually, this podcast kind of got created. I was out in Halifax, as I typically do every June. I run the advanced production training. Patrick typically goes for the production training, and I go out for the advanced production training. And I remember just connecting with you and just going, oh my gosh, Andrew, what a turnaround in your season. And, you know, at the time you were, you know, crushing it, heading to sort of a Mexico style summer. And, you know, as of April 14th, you had $18,000 booked. And so, we know that there's a bunch of people, is, you know, we're planning on publishing this on April 2nd. And there's a bunch of people who might be, their business hasn't really clicked through. and hasn't, you know, jumped to that next level. And oh my gosh, I can't do this. And I was saying that we've been talking about one of our former operators and coaches, Ali Melchowski, for a long time. And that story needed to be updated. And so now we're going to talk about you, Andrew, for a while. So well done.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, great. So here, why don't we go back to explain who you were before joining the program?
Yeah, for sure. So growing up, I would always say I was super, super competitive guy. I think a lot of my classmates and stuff can probably attest to that.
Right.
Growing up, just always wanted to win, always wanted to have success, you know, whether it was sports, school, extracurricular stuff. Always wanted to be the best. That was kind of my attitude. Okay. I was always very driven, intrinsically motivated. So obviously, you know, that stuff translated pretty good coming into this job. Yeah, like I said, always loved sports, played like every sport growing up in high school, always just trying to be active, trying to get out of the house. And once I kind of moved to Fredericton and started, you know, living on my own and stuff, entered a bit of a party phase. I would say I probably didn't have my priorities straight. Kind of like my focus was just making sure like I had plans on the weekend, making sure I was seeing some friends, stuff like that. And so I would say that there was a period of time where I kind of feel like I fell into a bit of a funk. I wanted to do something and I like being busy. Sitting around is, I always feel guilty for sitting around and not doing anything. So that was a little bit of a funk. And then, you know, when this door got open to become an operator, I said yes. I didn't really know what I was getting into.
Yeah.
But it's turned out great. You know, I'm busy every day. Feel like I definitely have my priorities straight now and just trying to keep growing and be the best version of myself.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So why don't we talk about what, you know, well, one of the things that got you on the podcast, I know you're going to be one of our top performers, already are. So that gets people on the podcast as well. So why don't we talk about Andrew joined this program. Okay. And you're around this environment. And to a certain extent, it's not having that impact, right? So in January, February, March, April, Andrew is not the best version of himself. So what do you think was happening, you know, and this may relate to some other operators listening to sort of go, yeah. So what was going on?
Yeah, the biggest thing with me is when I started the program, which would have started in January last year, is when I kind of officially started the job. Yeah. I just had too many commitments. I had a lot on my plate. And I was in my last semester of school. So I kind of had set a personal goal to try to have my best semester out of all of university. And also last year we were kind of back to normal. So it was nice to kind of be like in the classroom learning. I just felt like I wanted to do the best I could. So that was obviously a priority. I was playing hockey too. I was in my last year, junior, where I was actually captain too. So I felt a lot of, you know, pressure and a bit of a burden on me. We had lost the year before. I really wanted to finish off with a win and lead the team. And I also had another job in Fredericton where I worked for Lug Sports, which is like setting up sports leagues, events, sponsorship stuff around the city. So all that stuff was already taking place before I joined and became an operator. So I kind of, you know, student works in the back seat and focusing on these other commitments before I was doing my marketing and calling and stuff like that. And so that definitely set me back. You know, I was slower getting into sales. I was slower learning how to do everything.
Yes.
Then, you know, once hockey ended and we won, thankfully, and I graduated or finished all my classes, finished my exams, I basically had nothing left on my plate than work. And that's kind of when I figured out, I should probably, you know, start doing something if I want to make any money this summer.
Yeah.
Which, you know, a primal reason why I decided to join.
Right.
And so it was kind of mid-April where I had to turn the afterburners on and start doing my job.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things. So there's a bunch of things there. You know, one of the things is when we don't set up our environment for success, it's really hard to win. Right. Doesn't matter how good we are. So, you know, Andrew, you have a whole bunch of raw skills and attributes and, you know, the ways of being who Andrew is are very compared to, you know, the ways of being of other really top operators, and you weren't showing those. And that happens every year with operators. And like you said, it's, and, you know, let's be more truthful, it's not just my job and hockey and school. It was also, you hadn't really got over the party thing, and not say you were partying madly or anything, but it was like, hey, the sacrifice that it takes to go run an incredible business is the next level. Right. And it's like, oh, okay. So, hey, I'm not going to go out, or I'm going to go out to 11 so I can still get that. Because one of the things I do, Andrew, is every year is I listen to all sorts of coaching calls and provide coaching for our coaches. And I remember one call I had was you and Cade talking about, and Cade trying to get you to sort of see this opportunity in a different way. And it wasn't. And again, it was very clear that you had a schedule that was very difficult to have the type of success we wanted. You know, so what did you see there?
Yeah, I mean, Cade, obviously, you know, Student Works Hall of Famer for sure. I would put him up there as a Hall of Fame coach too. Without him, I don't think I could have done what I did last year.
Shout out Cade. You bet. Absolutely.
Shout out Cade. Yeah. One of the biggest things that Cade kind of pressed on me was the idea of having a calendar. You know, I'm a very kind of just go with the flow guy, you know, going into the weeks. On our Monday Max meeting, he'd be like, so when are you going marketing this week? And I'd be like, I might have some time on Wednesday. Like, I'm not really sure yet. Yeah. You know, maybe I can go Thursday for a bit. And so I was super unstructured. And that's something that he pressed on me a lot, was like, bro, you got to use a calendar. Like, this is going to be your lifesaver. This is how you're going to like organize everything that you're doing and be able to find time to go marketing and stuff like that. So he pressed that a lot on me, and now, like, I don't know what I would do without a calendar.
Exactly.
I put all my commitments, like, you know, going to the gym, anything work related, anything that like social related, I put everything into the calendar. So that's something that he pressed on me a lot. That, you know, at first I was like, dude, like, I'm not doing this. And then over time it developed and I started to see the need of having a calendar all the time.
And see the benefits, right? And actually, you're right. I remember that call as well. That was one of the times Cade was, again, looking to influencing you, looking to sell you. And understandably, like, a student comes in and they've got a you know, semblance of a calendar. But then all of a sudden, hey, I'm going to go run for you last year, basically $180,000 business. Well, how do I do that with no calendar? And so understandably, people really don't even understand how they're going to do that. So it seems, you know, the link isn't as clear. I always like to jump out, quite often I'll jump out, you know, 30 years and just imagine, again, somebody who's a senior VP at a major bank or a large corporation or, you know, running a multi-million dollar business. What do you think they would have? And you go, oh yeah, I guess they'd really have to have everything organized. And if it's not in the calendar, it's not going to be there. I know Dawson Curry, who's a VP of Oracle, last night was just talking about how he was structuring his calendar. He spent a third of his time doing one thing, another and another. And he needs to block off me time in his calendar. It doesn't happen. You know, that's what, you know, the fullest expression of ourselves, you know, in the future, likely going to be. And it's understandable why someone might resist that, not understand it. So that was another thing for you that you really saw as part of that breakthrough. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, definitely. And like, I'm a pretty forgetful guy too. Like, organization is something that I've been trying to work on, especially actually for 2024. It's kind of a goal that I have. Super, super unorganized last year. And, you know, I learned that on the business side of things, like, I got to make sure I'm writing stuff down. If I call somebody and they say, can't talk right now, can you call me back tomorrow? I'm putting that right in my schedule, like, tomorrow at this time to call them back, or I'm writing it down on my to-do list for the day. Yeah. I just find like, if I'm not writing it down, then there's going to be something important that I forget. So having the calendar and the to-do list is extremely vital for me.
Well, I have the exact same habit, and I picked that habit up when I was an early operator in my first or second year. I can't remember when it really, you know, sunk in. I think it was my first year and just going, wow. And then I can be my word and I can return the call that I said I was going to, because otherwise I'm going to forget. And now I don't have to, I find my mind very clear most of the time because, you know, well, I, you know, this morning, February 16th, you know, I knew I had a meeting with you to do a podcast, and oh, well, I'd wake up in the morning and see that. Oh, great. We got this going on. So it's not something I have to remember. You know, my phone, my calendar has remembered that for me. So why don't we walk through, you know, anything else that's important about before we start talking about, you know, you broken through, you building your business, anything else that would be of value to our leaders listening?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I was the type of guy that, you know, I lacked in the beginning. I lacked a lot of faith in the program. Like there were certain things that, you know, I saw Cade do it, and obviously Cade did a great job, but it was some of those times, you know, going marketing by myself in the freezing cold. I'm just kind of thinking like, what am I doing here? I'm not getting any leads. Like this isn't working. And there was even like a really, you know, one that kind of hits close to home is, you know, the home show in Fredericton, and Cade, you know, saying, you got to go to the home show. Like, this is like a crazy opportunity for leads. And the home show was a lot of money. Like, it was a lot of money to kind of invest in, but the way he described it was like, this is going to kickstart you a lot. And I just didn't see the value in it at all. I also at the time I had no money when I was starting this, which, obviously was a bit of a challenge. But I didn't have the money to invest in it, and I didn't see the need in the home show. And eventually I was just like, whatever, I'll go. I'm going to the home show.
Right.
Ended up going to the home show, came out with like 15 crazy leads. And that was mid-April. And that's kind of what kickstarted me to be able to hit 40 and hold on to the business, because there was conversations that we were having before that was like, man, like, I'm already too far behind. Like, I'm just going to join Zach's team. And shout out Zach Terrio. He's another operator in Fredericton. I was going to be his PM, and it was literally conversations that me and Cade have had a few times. And then he said, man, I think, like, just trust me on this, go to the home show and we'll be okay.
We'll do this. Yeah.
I locked faith in it, and I ended up going through and came out up to, I think it was at like 30, 35K after that. And that's when I kind of like had that, you know, light bulb moment or that awakening where I was like, maybe I can do this. Like, maybe I can come back and be able to run like a pretty decently sized business. So,
No, it's great. I, you know, just, we fund the cash flow of the home show. And on the other hand, in the end, an operator, student operator needs to feel like, okay, I'm going to go and do well enough to pay it off. And that, you know, the Fredericton home show, we've had just an incredible string of really amazing operators. Shout out Dustin Taylor, you know, who preceded Cade and others who've really built the market up there, that were just consistently just crushing it year in, year out. And so the Fredericton home show is typically a time where we'll book $100,000, you know, out of that show and all the leads that come in. And it's from a distance, it seems like, really? And again, it's great that, you know, you trusted the process and then went through. And one of the great things about home shows, and they're not always available in all of our markets, or one of the things we do is we know some markets don't really work for home shows. Like, we're not in the big international home show in Toronto. It doesn't really work. But what we find is it is great. Here's a whole bunch of leads. Here's a whole bunch of people, usually very interested. And then boom, I'm booking work. I'm excited. I'm moving on. So, you know, I know you just went out like a shot. All of a sudden you had a 20K week, and then another 15K week, and another 8K week, and just kept, you know, jumping and jumping and jumping, and really, really shifted. So what did you learn that you didn't expect from your first summer?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things, I mean, you already said it was trust the process. Once I started to see a little bit of success come, that's when I, you know, realized that I just got to like fall in love with the grind here. And it's grind over glory, really. Like, and I think Will said this too on the podcast, one of the recent podcasts, is you really just have to fall in love with the process and not look for the success that's going to come at the end of it. But the more that you're having fun, throughout the entire process of, you know, marketing, calling, and like, making sales is addicting. And so once you get into that good flow of getting a lot of sales and stuff, like, you don't want to stop, you want to keep going, because at the end of the day, that's work that you're providing for your team. That's money that you're raking in. That's families that you're helping out with the projects. And so that was definitely a very addicting feeling. A story I did want to share too, was just, in April at the training that we were talking about. And I think you had said I was at 18K at that point. And, you know, I was not I was not motivated at that point. I drove to Halifax by myself. And that was kind of during the time period of, I think I might drop down to a PM. Yeah. And I remember Pat giving a speech at the front of the room, and he was talking about being behind and feeling like you're not doing enough and that you're not going to make it. And he was literally staring, like, I felt like he was staring right into my soul.
Talking
like,
to you. Yes. Talking
yeah,
to
he
you.
Wasn't, yeah. He didn't move his eyes around the room at all. He just was staring directly at me. And he said, you're not down. You're not out. You can come back, you know, stick to the systems, trust the process. You're going to be okay. And like, I'm sitting there like, man, like, why is he not looking at anyone else? Well, it's pretty obvious. I was the guy that was kind of needing the most support at that point. And so that was kind of a cool wake up call. And I just remember after that, you know, everyone was pretty aware that I was struggling at that point. Yeah. And I remember I had a conversation with David Young. Shout out David. He's having a crazy start to the year. And he literally just talked to me about his experience too. And he said, man, like, I was in the same shoes as you last year. Like, I had nothing. I came to this training with like nothing. You come out of here, you come out of the gates flying, you know, once you start to find success, that's when the floodgates are going to open up. And so he set a goal like, maybe I can hit 100K. Yeah. And that was his first goal. And then after that, oh, it's only 40 more to Mexico and let's push for that. And then, let's try to beat the Mexico goal.
Yeah.
So, you know, just being able to talk to other operators and hear their experiences. I felt like I wasn't alone and that, you know, I can do this. Like, why can't I?
Why should
I?
Me?
You know, everyone else can do it. I can do it too. Like, who cares if I'm a little far behind? That was just kind of a cool turning point for me in the season.
No, that's great. And that's one of the things we're doing this podcast for, people to sort of see that. And again, you mentioned David as well. And there's been so many operators in this point. You know, it's tough to get this business started. It's difficult around school and again, the commitments that people have, like the commitments that you legitimately had last year, really significant. And so sometimes people don't get where they want to be and are 100% capable. And there's no question in my mind when Pat was giving that talk, he knew you were one of the people he was speaking to in this room in Halifax. And here's a completely capable person, super capable person to win here and kind of trying to breathe life. And one of the cool things that happens in April of every year, you can see it in the Google searches, is all of a sudden Canadians start looking for paint jobs and start looking for window cleaning jobs. It's April, May, and June. Boom, the numbers of people who start searching on the internet explode. And so the market comes to us and they start looking out for us. And all the work that we did early on in January, February, March gets supported because they start calling for us. So that's awesome. And so was this role as hard as you thought it would be?
Yeah. Well, it was a lot more work than I expected, for sure. Yeah. Like, I never saw all the behind the scenes stuff, because just as a little background, I guess, I was a painter for 2 years.
Okay.
Before I became an operator. So, you know, I knew how to paint. I knew a lot of the paint technology, which was a bit of an advantage to me in the beginning. But I didn't see all the behind the scenes doing the sales work in January and marketing in the freezing cold and having to make calls all the time. So it was definitely more work than I expected. And for me in the beginning too, like I said, I was very broke. I didn't have a lot of money. So investing in all these things was stressful for me because I didn't know the payout that it was going to have, I guess.
Yeah.
I remember one story, actually, me and Cade on a call, and I don't know, I guess I kind of just, you know, put this in the backseat, or I wasn't really paying attention at first, but I was asking him like, when do I get my first paycheck again for this? Like, I kind of need it.
Yeah.
And he was like, this conversation was probably in April, late April. And he said, June 15th is the first time we can take a payroll. And I remember just like freaking out, like, I can't wait that long. But then when you think about it, that's the whole part of delayed gratification, is you put in the work and then, you know, you get paid out later on. And that's kind of how I was able to fall in love with the process, is like, let's not worry about the money right now. Let's focus on getting work. Let's focus on filling up the summer. And then, you know, from there, once you start following the systems and stuff, it only gets easier.
Yeah.
So marketing, doing 8-point calls, going to an estimate with a lot of confidence, like, it only gets easier and easier. And I feel like I needed to have those those mistakes in the beginning, to be able to learn and adapt and grow as an operator. Because, you know, without making the mistakes, like how am I going to do any better? And, you know, I had a slow start. Like once I started doing sales on my own, I went like 0-for-8. I really dreaded the money talk. That was something that was a huge challenge for me that I had to overcome, was talking about money. And I specifically remember this one estimate that I went to. It was like one of my first couple that I went by myself. Super good rapport with the clients. Like I felt like I was doing everything right. And then I got in the car and I wrote up the agreement and I looked at the numbers and I was like, this just seems like too much. I was like in my head, I was just thinking like, there's no way they signed this. Like, this doesn't seem right.
Hey leaders, I hope you are enjoying this podcast. As we approach and surpass 300 episodes, well over 95% of the leaders that we have interviewed have been alumni of the StudentWorks Management Program. It has been an honor to participate in their development over the years. Starting now, and only for the fall months, we will be on campus at universities and colleges in Ontario, Quebec, and the East Coast, interviewing students who think they have what it takes to start their first business and get started down the path of entrepreneurship. If you are interested in being a leader in our program or know someone who does, please go to the show notes and hit StudentWorks and get sent to a landing page to apply. There is a bold StudentWorks that you can hit to go to a landing page to apply. Thanks so much. Back to the show.
And so then I go in with a lack of confidence in the pricing and stuff. And the clients look at it and go, oh my goodness, like that's way more than we expected.
Right.
So like there was a lot of things I had to learn about how to like have confidence when talking about money, you know, have confidence in myself, in my services that I'm providing. And then, you know, having a really negative experience like that one at that estimate reminded me what not to do and what I can do better for the next ones to ensure that I don't get those awkward feelings in the future.
Yeah. And there's never been an estimate that I don't do. And I've been doing them for a long time. It's been a while, you know, Andrew, that I've been out in the field doing estimates, but that I don't go, wow, that's a lot. You know, that's just my kind of thinking, I guess. But I just kind of ignore it. And I go, here's the system. Here's the process. I know we're well-priced. I know we book over 60% of our jobs estimates in painting and 80% in window cleaning. I know we charge a full rate because the service that we offer is amazing. And we don't want to teach people how to sell at less. That's teaching people to be poor. So we're not going to do that. And there's no question that it is difficult conversations to have, right? And it's uncomfortable, and learning to talk about money, you know, it's like one of the last thing people want to talk about is money. So there's a lot of fear in that. So thanks for bringing that up and making that real. So, and then why don't we talk more about, you know, completing the season and crushing it and, you know, getting up to like 180K. And so what do you think were the things that really had you have such a successful, you know, back end of the season, Andrew?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing, I feel like I got to shout out my team. Yeah. Without them, like, I don't know where I would have been last summer. Yeah. So just real quick, Jacob, Liam, Mobin, Abby, Michael, phenomenal team. I had a lot of, they were all friends of mine before, some of them actually family members, but, you know, so to have them on my team and, you know, always giving 100% every day, always, you know, connecting really well with clients, that definitely made my job a lot easier. That was one thing I feel like I really have to give a lot of credit to. The summer flew by, literally it felt like the snap of a finger. I loved being busy. So like every day from wake up to when I'm going to bed, like I just felt like I was buzzing off of work. There's so much work to do. I always felt like I should have been doing more. There was times I had to kind of calm myself down.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, you know, getting up there to the higher end of sales by the end of the year, really from May to August, I was just on go mode. I was doing as many possible estimates as I could. You know, we're luckily getting a lot of leads coming in through social media marketing. And it was just me trying to three estimates per day on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, like, awesome. Cause I knew that we needed work. And when we started the year in May, like, I'm pretty sure I was only at like kind of maybe 50, 60, like not yeah. enough to fill the summer, definitely not enough to fill the summer. So I knew yeah. it was going to be a grind to make sure that the summer was filled, because like, not only are these painters, but these are my friends that are relying on me for a full summer of work.
Yeah.
So, just doing a lot of estimates and slowly starting to get some bigger jobs. And that's obviously a huge confidence boost when we can get bigger jobs, do some cottages, some full exterior stuff like that. You know, that's weeks of work for the team. Yeah. So yeah, it was really just like, you know, doing a lot of estimates and then also like just captivating on the whole team experience. You know, we set up a couple meetings, like every 2 weeks our team would have a meeting and I'd go around the room and I'd ask everybody, what's one thing that you think you're doing really well at right now? And one thing that you think you can improve on right now.
Awesome.
And then we'd kind of discuss that amongst ourselves. And then I would ask them all one thing they think I'm doing really good at and something I need to improve on. So then that was a good way for me to learn, you know, stuff that maybe I didn't realize that the team really likes when I do. And also stuff that I can do better to ensure my team is like performing at the highest quality and I can be their best supporter. So yeah, just the whole team aspect and bulking estimates. That's essentially where we were able to, I don't even know, 100K probably in the last few months of summer.
That's fantastic. And again, it's that connection. You know, one of the things I really sense, Andrew, for you is there's a real connection again to your team, and the team has connection to you. And then there's also real connection to the customers and seeing, hey, this is yeah. the work that we get to help protect and beautify people's homes. Right. And it really matters to them. Right. And, you know, and it's like, hey, somebody's, you know, has this wonderful cottage. Well, they want to make sure it doesn't fall down because it needs to be protected. And that's something that you were able to do. And there really is a feeling of, you know, I don't know, worth, you know, excitement in doing that. So getting yourself lost, like you said, in the work. So when we think about this season, you know, wow, it's like, you know, same time last year, 2,800, now at 55,000. So there's a lot of, you know, so talk about the mindset heading into the season that you've come into this second season. I know your goal, we were talking earlier, 350,000. So looking literally to double your business, looking, you know, obviously on track with that in sales. What's happened and how have you set your season up?
Yeah, just really, really quick again, like I got a good management team this year. I got a few PMs, Mobin, Kate, and Adam, who obviously I'm able to coach through and they've been doing really, really well with making sales and stuff as well. So
awesome.
Having that early team aspect has kind of, you know, kickstarted me this year. Right out of the gates after Ottawa training, you know, I was just super, super motivated to do really well. And
yeah.
knowing that I was still able to find success last year, with only selling really in the last 3 months, I knew that, if we can avoid the slow start that I had last year and have like a super great start, then that's only going to set us up a little better for the summer. You know, bigger team, more work, stuff like that. So just a few things like staying consistent with my schedule has been extremely vital. You know, we go marketing in the same times every week, twice yeah. a week. We do calling at the same times twice a week on the certain days. And then we try to book all our estimates for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And that schedule has just like, you know, me and the team are able to really capitalize and do the most with that schedule. You know, we've had some help with marketing. We've hired a few marketers and stuff like that. And so, yeah, just sticking to the schedule has been a huge game changer for me this year. Obviously, last year I didn't even have a calendar at this point. So a little bit of a difference there. And just a couple other things like I think when I'm doing estimates now compared to a year ago, I'm just a lot more personable with clients and, mm-hmm. and like, truthfully speaking, I really do want to help like every single client and family, you know, with their issue, whether it's a deck or a failing piece of siding and whatever, we do want to help clients. So just being personable with them, like being their friend, I don't always want to go in there and act like a salesman. I want to literally sit down, you know, pet their dog, say hi yeah. to their kid, and like be like a true honest friend to them, knowing that we can provide like a quality valued service that's going to help them in the long term. And I feel like I also got to shout out Jess Franzman. She's my coach this year. You know, she keeps me super grounded. You know, if I have a big week in the preseason, she's not letting my head get too big. She's always finding new things for me to work on or improve on or start doing. So, just having her on the sidelines has been a huge help. And I don't know what I would do without her, honestly. So
yeah,
just those things and then trusting the process.
And that's a great thing, actually. One of the nice things that, you know, Cade actually has moved on to work with his dad and his father's business. He was, Andy was, Cade's father was, you know, aggressively recruiting Cade away from Student Works. Wait, well done, Andy, you won. and it was time for Cade to leave after a number of years. And so, you know, one of the cool things is you get to work with another amazing leader, and Jess is just fantastic and just really stepping into her own as a leader in the business, you know, to again, the similarities and strengths, working with them. You know, why don't we dig into, you know, just the different level of leadership now this year versus last year, running a business literally double the size. What's it like? How are you thinking about leadership at this level? Not to say you weren't a powerful leader last year, but now we got to be twice as good. What's going on and how are you enrolling your team differently?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, most of my life, I've always been a leader, you know, just being captains of different sports teams and stuff. Obviously, being a leader in a business is a little different. I'm always trying to you know, find ways to be better, to motivate people. And I think that's a huge factor, is motivation.
Yeah.
With my team this year, you know, it's us having meetings or meeting every day and just figuring out, okay, what's the best way we can find success? What's the best areas we can market? What's like something we can do with our calls that, you know, will be more convincing over the phone before we have to go to the estimate? And just, you know, finding those different things that can maybe elevate, you know, a trait that I already thought I was pretty good at.
Right.
So yeah, just continuing to, you know, find ways to be better. And I think part of being a leader is understanding people and having a positive mindset. And so I've worked on a lot recently to just be really optimistic with my team. You know, people come to me with problems or issues they're having or something didn't go well. And it's just always trying to like look at it in a positive light or in an optimistic way, finding the good in every person and also in every situation. And you know, like I said earlier, it's great to make mistakes because that's how you learn from them. And it's kind of just accepting that fact, like, you know, going home and crying about a mistake that you made is going to fix nothing.
Yeah.
But realizing what you did wrong and being able to learn from it and change it for next time, that's how you're actually going to be able to grow as a leader. And people are going to see that and they're going to be influenced by it and they're going to want to come work for you. So it's just, you know, those different things of ways to elevate, you know, my platform and continue to try to encourage as many people as I can and motivate them and then make them intrinsically motivated.
Love it. Love it. And, you know, and again, it's one of those things where, you know, I know a lot of leaders, I know a lot of very successful leaders, and they all have stories of that time it didn't work, that those really challenging times and that time that, you know, again, they lost money or didn't go well. And so, and that's what crystallizes it for them. It actually, those bad things or those quote unquote failures or those tough times that you had week over week over week. I see the Simon stats just not hardly moving last year on my screen.
It's a flat line.
Yeah, flat line. Exactly. Barely alive. And then boom, everything else is just straight up. And that just changes who we are. And we look back and go, I am a different person and I've got things on the rails moving forward. So how do you think these skills and mindsets now will help with your future career?
I think for one, just being able to connect with a random person that you just met, and that's in terms of like a client. I think that's a huge skill to have. Networking, I think for any job that I'm going to be involved in the future, I think networking is extremely vital. You know, having people that you can support, and then they'll also reciprocate that support back to you. I just think that that's like a huge thing for my life, that I want to stay connected with the people I've met, and you learn from them, and maybe they can learn something from me as well. In terms of my mindset, aside from like the optimistic and the positive mindset that I try to portray, I just want to make the most of it every day, really. And part of that is staying busy, you know, getting active, and just, you know, being like a positive energy to be around. You never know when you're going to, like, how a simple comment could change someone's day or life. And that's as simple as saying hi to a random person on the street or whatever, creating a random conversation in a line at a coffee shop or whatever. So I just try to, my mindset has just been, you know, try to continue to grow, be the best version of myself, and be able to encourage others to kind of do the same thing.
Awesome. I love that. So what key habits would someone want to steal from you, Andrew?
A habit that I've gotten into recently is getting up early. That was probably something that set me apart a little bit last year, but I actually just took on a job teaching gym 3 times a week to a middle school in a private school.
So, oh, super.
And that's first thing in the morning. So that's helped me to wake up early and kind of get my day started.
Yeah.
You know, at the crack of dawn and be ready to go, kind of getting active, running around the gym with the kids.
Yeah.
Getting up early, and then, you know, once you're up, you just want to get straight
going. Yeah.
You can get so much more done in the day if you're getting up early. Staying active is a huge one too. I know a lot of the people in the program, the operators, are super active, you know, in the gym all the time, going for runs. And I think that's super important. There was a period of time in the summer last year where I missed the gym for the entire month.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of that was me trying to play catch up. You know, if you can balance the physical activity with the work, you're going to feel better. You're going to, you know, look good, feel good, play good.
Yeah.
That kind of attitude. So that was definitely a huge one for me, is just, you know, stay in the gym, stay playing sports, stuff like that. And then a third one actually was just to have other hobbies too. You know, sometimes I feel like I can get in this, you know, business, like I'm focusing maybe a little too much, and to avoid burnout, you know, it's important to do stuff with your friends too. You know, I like going and watching basketball and hockey games at the university. I like playing poker with the boys.
Awesome.
Too, and just being able to kind of do other things too. And obviously business is first,
right.
But you also have your brain breaks and be able to have your social time too. So it's just, you know, a matter of balancing those three different things. You know, those are habits that have worked really well for me. And I think sometimes people maybe just, you don't want to overly focus too much on the business to the point where you're getting burned out and it's not fun anymore. Right now, to me, like this whole business thing, it seems like a game almost.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to be number one. I want to be at the top of the leaderboard. I want to be on the podium. But, you know, I need to have my breaks too, and do other things that I find enjoyable to be able to stay at that top level.
Yeah. And really seeing, like, again, this, if we look at success, it's not just monetary. It's not just the business. It's, hey, how healthy are we? And I know my first summer, I was horrible at actually doing anything else. And there was an impact. And then I stopped doing it that way. It's like, hold on, I actually will do better by continuing my physical fitness. And that will help. And then again, social, you know, that again, recreation, and that helps make me better in my role. Right. And then again, time with family and friends. And so it's just making sure that we've got all these areas, all these buckets filled, and it will make us better. And you've got that personal experience going, yeah, I kind of burned myself out a little bit. Right. So that's awesome. So anything else you'd like to share that we haven't hit on, before we go to our final question?
I think, just as kind of a message to other operators who, might not be having the best start. I just want to say, like, I can definitely relate to that. You know, you can reach out to me at any time you want, if you're feeling a little down. But if you are feeling down, I just want to kind of remind everybody that you're not, like, you still have so much time. Like you said, this is dropping in April. That was kind of my month of my TSN turning point of, you know, I thought I was going to you know, get fired from being self-employed. And that was the turnaround, was really when I was at my lowest. Yeah. That's when I was able to kind of find the light and get back into it. So you're never down. You know, I encourage everybody to always give 100% in this business. And, you know, when there's times that you're not finding success, just know that you can turn it around. It's not the end of the world. And just something that I kind of always keep in the back of my mind is there's this photo and it says what my plan is. And it's a straight line to the finish line.
Right.
Like, what everyone plans to. It's going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be easy. Yeah. And then you have a photo below it and it's God's plan. And it's, you know, you're falling down into the rocks and you come up a little bit and you fall into the water. And then you got a really hill to climb up. And then, you know, the checkpoint is at the top of that. So it's just kind of realizing that, like, these challenges that are set in your life are for a reason. You know, this is something that God wants you to grow from that and be able to overcome these challenges, accept these mistakes and learn from them and be better. If you were just walking across that straight line, you know, what are you learning? What are you gaining? What are you able to coach other people on? Yeah. But when you have all these hiccups and these bad experiences and failures, you know, once you do get to the top, that's what's going to make it essentially a lot sweeter. And that's how you're going to grow as a person. So just keeping that in my mind and, you know, being able to share that with others, I think is really important.
That's an awesome lesson. And you know, one of the things as well is that our students like yourself and our top performing operators are in the top 1, 2, 3, 4% of Canadians at that age in income across the nation. Like, that's just what's true. So getting into that, you don't think it's going to be hard work. You don't think being one of the top performers is going to be hard work. You know, again, you know, what do you think? The top students in the class, you don't think they're working hard. The top hockey players, they're not really excelling. And then also they're not having real challenging times. Of course, that's what it's like. And you're right about, you know, just sticking it through. And so many operators have busted through and really, really created from incredible Aprils. We have story after story after story. And this, we're obviously dropping this one for people who need it. And we get it. And again, it's hope is one of the most important things we have in the world. You know, it's just, you know, hey, I believe in, and again, you can believe in the thousands of operators who have done this. You can believe in yourself. You can believe in the other operators who are there for you, your coach who's there for you, you know, and again, just hunker down and let's do the work and let's just believe that this is going to work. So final question, when you think of a leader of tomorrow, Andrew, what do you think of?
I mean, first off, I think a leader of tomorrow has a strong focus on teamwork. I think I have a strong belief that, you know, none of this was possible on my own. You know, I have a lot of people to thank. I have a great team, great coaches, great family, great parents that definitely helped me stick through it and get through those tougher times. So yeah, just having a strong focus on teamwork and really building that idea of we're all in this together. We all play a part. I think that's a big thing for a leader. Also staying busy. I kind of have the mindset that I want to do the most in a day. I want to try new experiences. I've recently started going to a couple yoga classes just because I've never been before and I wanted to try it. So just kind of doing new things, trying out new experiences and staying busy all through the day. You know, from when I wake up to go to bed, I feel so great when I can kind of chill out after a long day, when I know that I got a lot done. And I think any leader, it's important to kind of, you know, always have your schedule, try to fill it up and try to do the most that you can in a day. So that's definitely one. And then, lastly, a leader of tomorrow, someone who has a positive mindset. I think, you know, you always hear people talking about their boss and they hate their boss because they're rude or they don't give them time off or whatever. You know, by having a positive mindset as a leader or as a boss, you're really just going to like attract people. People are going to want to be around you. You're able to be more personable with them. You can relate to them more. You're able to help them solve problems when they feel like they're down and out, and just kind of always finding that positive thing that comes from a negative situation. That's something that I've been doing a lot that has helped me to just feel better. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Having a positive mindset, I think, extremely important. And I would encourage everyone to try to develop one.
Well, fantastic. Well, Andrew, just a really awesome interview here for our podcast. Thanks for joining me. And I knew it was going to be great. And I'm glad we've been talking about this for months. So I'm glad we got this in the books for April. And let's keep crushing it. And excited to see you, you know, again, being the best version and you having the best summer possible.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much, Chris. I mean, you've been super motivating. Ever since I've been in the program, right from, you know, the January training, watching you through the video last year, and then being able to meet you in person. And I definitely feel like you have a lot of that positive energy coming off of you. And I think I've already learned a lot from you, and I think I got a lot more to learn. So thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey leaders, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Bye now. You are aware that we work with ambitious students every single year to not only help them run their first successful business, but to further their development as a leader and give them an unfair advantage in the future over their counterparts. It's why starting now and only for the next few weeks, we'll be on campuses across Ontario, Quebec, and the East Coast interviewing students who think they have what it takes to start their first business and get started down their path of entrepreneurship. If you think you have what it takes or know someone who might be interested, visit leaderspodcast.ca/apply and start your application process today. Once again, it's leaderspodcast.ca/apply, and I can't wait to see you on the other side.